Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Only 7 hours away from the NFL draft going down in Detroit. And joining us now to break it all down is Tim Hasselbeck, our friend over at ESPN. And of course, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Tim, appreciate you for joining us today. We were just talking about how I find it very interesting that now all of a sudden we've seen two different mock drafts mock J.C. Latham to the Chargers. We also heard Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, earlier on our station say, yeah, I've been hearing a lot of smoke about J.C. Latham to the Chargers. Is J.C. Can the Chargers justify taking J.C. Latham, the right tackle out of Alabama, with the fifth overall pick?
I mean, I think you can. Like, you know, I just said to you guys last week, like, if you think somebody is going to be a decade-long starter, if you think somebody is going to, be somebody that's kind of plug and play, then, like, I think wherever you take him in the first round is justifiable, you know? Because look at how many times we say, okay, well, this guy's got to go at that point, and, you know, or he's good enough to at that point, and then you get him and he's a top three pick, and you look up 5 years later and you're not sure you won't even pick up the fifth year option or if he's any good. So I really think that, like, as we look at the first round and we try to separate the first round for the first five picks, and then, you know, he's the back half of the first round. Like, to me, if you are a decade long starter and you fit what that team needs, like, yeah, take him at the top.
With that being said, there's been a whole lot of, you know, speculation and smoke, so much talk about J.J. McCarthy. If you had to guess right now, where is J.J. McCarthy playing next season?
I'd say the Denver Broncos.
Ooh. And how does Denver get him?
My guess is that they would have to move up, would be my guess. You know, this is a weird year, and I think you guys would probably agree. You've been, you know, talking about it, you know, for months now, but, like, I mean, are the quarterbacks really flying off the top like this, you know? And is J.J. McCarthy really going inside the is he really going inside the top 10 for sure? Is he really going inside the, you know, the top 6 or 8 for sure? And, you know, I think we just, like, to me, just look at the two quarterbacks the Titans have drafted the last couple of years. The night before draft night, the last 2 years, people thought that Malik Willis and Will Levis would potentially go in the first round, and they didn't go anywhere near the first round. So, you know, I just think the quarterback rumors, the quarterback, you know, news and drama, I just feel like in recent drafts has just gone crazy.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. Here in town. Now, Tim, what is, because I'm looking at these quarterbacks, let's stay on the quarterback theme. How do you think scouts and teams evaluate these quarterbacks from this standpoint? You have a guy like J.J. McCarthy who hasn't been a 3 or 4 year starter, but then you look at a guy like Bo Nix, and everywhere he's been basically a starter. Now, I know it didn't work out the way he wanted it to in Auburn, that's why he transferred, but he still was a good quarterback with what they asked him to do at Auburn. Then you saw him being able to adjust to a new system in Oregon, and he elevates his game even more. So where is that separation between a Bo Nix and, say, a J.J. McCarthy, who wasn't a 4 or 3 year starter?
Yeah, well, I think one of the really tricky things in evaluating quarterbacks, and I actually did something recently on Outside the Lines about this, is like, okay, like, how do you evaluate these guys? And when something didn't go well, like, what do you attribute that to? And, or when it did, what do you attribute it to? And so, like, I look at Bo Nix, and just being candid about what I thought of Bo Nix at Auburn, I thought, man, like, he really walked into a high pressure situation. Dad was a quarterback there, was a very highly recruited player coming out of high school, was thrown into the mix to play at Auburn early, and they were a good team, but not necessarily a great team. and we're going to play certain teams in the SEC that were better than them. Well, that's hard for a young quarterback to thrive in that environment. I think, generally speaking, he had like played some good football, but like all quarterbacks, you're going to make some mistakes. And so now, you know, you get run out of town, essentially, by probably the place that you grew up, you know, envisioning yourself playing at because of his dad's history of playing there. And now you get essentially thrown to the West Coast. Well, then he gets there and he makes the most of that situation. So in terms of that, like D-Mace, like I'm going to look at that and I'm going to say, I like the fact that he's weathered the storm. Now, I don't know how somebody else looks at it, but I look at that and I go, you know something? There's a little bit of grit and resiliency inside that guy. Like, I like that. You know, I think in some ways you can apply the same thing to J.J. McCarthy. Like, Job wasn't ever, you know, handed to him. Job wasn't, you know, he had to earn it, played in some big pressure moments, and then also didn't get a ton of opportunities because of their offense. So, you know, you look at those things and then you say, okay, well, what did they do just even schematically? How does that fit with us? And so I think you have to look at all of that, and that's why it's definitely not an exact science. And so, you know, on somebody like Bo Nix, you'd say, like, the way I would look at it is, I like the grit and resiliency. Somebody else might look at it and go, nah, I mean, he walked into a perfect, you know, situation and, you know, walked to a perfect situation in Oregon with an amazing offensive line and a ton of speed. And, like, you know, and honestly, just a lot of guys would have had success. But maybe somebody else looks at it that way, but that's not how I would.
Yeah, and I can understand that because you can say, take that same theory for J.J. McCarthy. Like, listen, that's a ready-made team. Only thing you have to do is not mess it up. And he didn't mess it up, but he was the, one of the reasons that they won games. So you can kind of, you know, look at it from both angles where it could be a plus or a negative, just depending on how you see that player and if you feel that he's going to be available for you. Now, in his top 10, 15 picks, how many defensive players you think go? Because we've been talking a lot about offensive linemen, quarterbacks, obviously, and now you throw J.J. McCarthy in the mix, you might have four quarterbacks drafted in the top five. So you're talking quarterbacks, offensive linemen, and receivers. Where do you think, or how many guys do you think go in that top 15 in regards to defensive players?
You know, I mean, listen, I think the quarterback's going to be a big part of it, and then I think where their first receiver goes, we know offensive tackle is going to be in the mix. Like, you know, like, we would see a bunch of offensive, like somebody was asking me the other day about, like, are we going to break the record for offensive players drafted in the first round? Right. I think that number might be at 19, I think. So that's a good question. I think the quarterbacks determine it. I mean, look, here's what I don't think. I don't believe that, like, I don't think J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top six. Which pushes him back, which, you know, if he's the next guy and there are four quarterbacks taken by pick 12, like I think that's the most quarterbacks that we would see, you know, go that quickly. And then I think there's a really good chance that there's not another one that goes in the first round. And so, like, in that environment, this idea that there's going to be this massive offensive run in the entire first round or what's got, like, I think that's going to be the real indicator. That's my hunch on it. Now, look, I think Michael Penix, you know, Jr. could be a first round draft pick with a totally clean injury history. And so maybe somebody looks at it and is like, yeah, I'm not worried about what he's been through. And maybe he jumps up, you know, before Bo Nix. And so short answer, like, I'm totally guessing, but I do think there's going to be a lot of offensive players taken in the first 15 picks.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So Tim, go a little further on Penix and your evaluation of him. He's an interesting story. He played so long at Indiana before he was really in the spotlight, and then he goes to Washington, becomes much more of a household name. He's older, which is another theme that we've talked about these last couple of years. That's sort of a new way that you have to factor in guys who have, because of the COVID, are older when they come into the draft, but they have more games under their belt. So what are his strengths and weaknesses?
Yeah, so here's an interesting thing. I originally, just to kind of give you a sense of, like, my posture on how I viewed him, you know, and how we can get tainted at times. I called the Gator Bowl when it was Indiana playing Tennessee. And Indiana was playing a quarterback that had come in relief because Penix had been injured. And he played really, really well. And they were a pretty good football team. Probably one of the – I mean, Indiana hadn't been to a bowl game in like 30 years and really had a chance to beat Tennessee in that in the game. Anyway, because the quarterback was playing well, I was kind of like, I don't know how good this Penix guy is.
Right.
Like, really? And he keeps getting chances, and he was injured. And this other guy, he just makes good decisions.
Right, you hear that about Levis a lot. Like, well, why didn't he get the starting job at Penn State if he's that good?
Correct, yeah. And so I entered into the Michael Penix, kind of conversation as I was a doubter because I had Sam, forget the other kid's name, but this other kid who's just kind of less explosive, less dynamic, but a good football player and a good quarterback, he was having all the success. And so that was my initial posture on Penix. Well, he's a really good passer. I mean, not everybody, as much as I try, not everyone starts at the same level. So here's what I would say about him. I think that he sees it great. I think he's a great anticipator. I think he's a really talented thrower. You know, one of the things that, I think is big with quarterbacks is like their scope of vision. Is the guy, does he kind of have a narrow scope of vision or does he see things broadly? And I think that he does that. And so I think it's one of the things that makes him a really good passer, along with, having plenty of arm strength and having, being able to play with good anticipation. So, and I think teaching someone to be a passer is hard. I think he's naturally a passer. I think the injury history will scare people. It just will, collarbone, couple ACLs, like all of that, not a huge, huge guy. But I think that if he had a clean injury history, because of the type of passer he is, I think he would undoubtedly be a first-round pick.
On Joe Alt, I'm curious about this mental dynamic that I'm sure happens a lot over the years in drafts, where you're sitting there saying, I got my biggest need, and here's a guy that everybody says is ready to plug in there.
Yep.
And I'm wondering too, how that could maybe sway your decision when really you're looking about who's the best guy for the next 5 to 10 years rather than this guy plugs a hole this year. I could put him right in there. It's simple. You have to go beyond that, don't you?
Yeah, I think you do. But generally speaking, the guy that you look at and you go, yep, I can play him right now. Like, he's usually the guy too that yep, you can play him in 5 years and in 10 years. Right. And so I agree with you. But so when you're in that environment and you can sit there and go, I mean, it can run you into trouble too, Willie, right? You can say, okay, this tight end, there's this tight end, this, offensive tackle is ready now, but man, hey, Isaiah Wilson, he might be Orlando Pace. Like, he's not him now, but maybe he could be. Maybe this is why I'm not a gambler. I wouldn't do it. Why would you do it?
The safer pick sounds better to you.
Well, and here's the deal. The reason the safer pick sounds better is because you've watched him on tape and you're like, yep, he's good. I can trust it. I see it. And in our interviews, it checked out. And he's already strong. And yeah, the reason that he looks like he's going to be good right now is the same reason that he's going to be good in 5 years and in 10 years. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, that's generally how it works. Now, are there some guys that develop and their ceiling is just, feels so much higher because athletically they're different? Sure. But, listen, your baseball background, I'm sure it's applicable where you're like, look, that guy's just a good pitcher. He's got great command. He's got an amazing approach. He's smart. He's competitive. And you're like, yeah, but the other guy throws, 7 miles per hour faster. Be like, yeah, that guy hits 4 guys a game. You know what I mean?
I can't get anybody out, but he throws a lot harder. But the scouts are like, in 5 years, watch out for this guy.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? You know what those guys do? They get you fired.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, kind of sticking along the offensive line theme. It's so easy for us to get up here and say, oh, there's a right tackle, just move him over to the left side, or he's a guard, just move him out to the outside, play tackle. It's easy for us to say, but of course, it's so much more difficult to actually execute. And I know every prospect is different, every player is different, and their histories are different, but just overall as a kind of a philosophy, how do you feel about moving players that maybe have played traditionally on the right to the left, and maybe players that have played traditionally on the left to the right side?
Yeah, I do think that it's not something you can take for granted. And, you know, I think sometimes people do it like, look, you know, I've never been somebody that's had my hand on the ground trying to block somebody. And I think I've talked about this with you guys in the past. But, you know, the biggest athletic mismatch that exists in the National Football League is these insanely talented edge rushers and the 6'7", you know, 320-pound tackle. Because, look, you got the Jason Pierre-Pauls of the world, you know, doing, you know, handsprings and backflips and doing all that, right? Like these freakish athletes that look like they could be power forwards. And they're going against guys, and I've made this joke with you before, they're going against guys that wore T-shirts to the swimming pool because they were embarrassed when they're young. Like it's the biggest athletic mismatch that exists in the National Football League, the elite talented edge rusher and the, you know, and the big tackle. And so now you're saying to a guy, yeah, just go ahead and move over to the other side. You're like, wait a minute, like, no, like there have been a lot of, you know, time and skill and work to get to this point. So, you know, I think that for me, you know, would say, look, does that mean guys can't do it? No, it doesn't mean guys can't do it. But like, it's not for everybody. And I don't think it's something you can take for granted.
Now, Tim, I mean, this day brings about a lot of crazy things. We've seen the Laremy Tunsil gas mask situation, and ultimately, that, you know, sort of messed up his draft stock. He started to fall down.
He likes to party.
Exactly. We saw, you know, what happened with the kid, Lionel Collins with LSU, yep. All the stuff that came up, and he ended up falling. What is one crazy draft day situation that you've experienced, whether it be a, you know, on a team or, you know, sitting there and doing a draft on draft day?
You know, I don't know that I have a crazy, crazy one. I mean, I think I told the story to you before, like on the, I think, you know, Mathias Kiwanuka, who was like the Giants had him as the highest rated player at 19. They didn't want to take him. They trade all the way back to, you know, 32 or 1 or whatever it was. And he was still the highest rated player. And they basically were like, look, we're wasting our money in our scouting department if we don't take him. So, like, there's that. You know, I think the other one would be, I was a player at the Giants. This is, I guess, kind of interesting. I was a player at the Giants, and Ted Ginn Jr. was on a visit. And I just happened to be, you know, working out that day. And so I was in the locker room, and he was on his phone talking to somebody. And I don't know if you remember this, but he was coming off of like a bad foot injury. Mm-hmm. And the Giants had him in. He was going to be a first-round draft pick. And I hear him on the phone telling somebody, like, I'm not even close to running right now. Like, I can't even put real weight on my foot. And I was like, man, it's kind of reckless to be having that kind of conversation in the building. Like,
exactly.
I'm just a backup quarterback here, but like, what happens if, you know, we had our general manager that was listening to you say that? So, yeah, I think those are, you know, I've heard the things about, you know, I don't know, like the pre-draft process. I think there, you know, usually some unique stories there, but, you know, on draft day, you know, as an undrafted guy, I kind of treat it in protest at times.
Last one for you, Tim, before we get you out of here. I'll put you on the hot seat. Who are the Titans selecting tonight? And with what pick?
I think they stay where they are, and I think they take a tackle. And that's probably all.
You know, we haven't heard that yet, Tim. It's new.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes like the obvious thing is the right thing, and it seems like that's the case, right? Like, I mean, like sometimes it's simple, and we don't need to make it harder, yeah. And the team doesn't need to make it harder than it should be.
Sometimes the Titans have a way of making things more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah, well, let's hope they don't. So, you know, we can get a good
draft. Yeah, listen, I've heard D. Mace has kind of been on one the last few weeks, so we can't have him do something crazy and have him go crazy for another month. All right, like that won't be good.
It's good for content,
maybe not the best decision
for the football team. Tim Hasselbeck, Tim, do you have any draft coverage tonight that the people can tune into?
I do. I have post game, so as long as the Titans don't do something crazy, you catch me on Van Pelt Sports Center tonight after the draft.
Okay. Don't hold your breath there, because you never know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that one.
But we'll be tuning in after the draft. Tim, appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll catch up next week.
You got it. See you guys.
Yep. All right, appreciate it. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. I want to react to what Tim had to say there. Some takeaways. Plus, we threw a bunch of questions Tim's way about the offensive line, about Joe Alt. His prediction is the Titans take Joe Alt at 7. I think that feels very, very likely. But Joe Alt joined Jared on Stillman & Company yesterday, and one thing that he said kind of got my gears turning a little bit. We'll get into that coming up next. I do want to get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Your thoughts as we are just a few hours away from the NFL draft. Caroline, Whitley, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, don't miss Nashville's best 2024 NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Tonight, stop by Twin Peaks in Madison at 6 p.m. for live 2024 NFL draft coverage. Get the best draft coverage as we break down each pick at the home of the 29 Degree Beer. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, ESPN Bet, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We already have a texter in the text line. Coy in Clarksville texts in. Says, does Jared Stillman have a meltdown on the air after the Titans make their selection? You'll be able to see that on the draft show tonight.
Yeah, you will actually be able to
what
see
are the,
it.
What are the odds? You know,
yeah, we need to get some odds.
The Caroline Fenton Sportsbook, minus 650.
Yeah, okay. we need to get some type of thing going. You know, the odds of Jared having a meltdown, the odds of the Titans purposely making Jared have a meltdown.
Just to spite him.
How's he feeling about the hockey series, by the way? After, didn't he say it was over after the first game?
Yeah, he said it was over. Did you expect him to say anything else?
No.
He said exactly. Canucks in 5 after game 1.
Okay. So is he still saying that?
Well, I don't think so.
I don't know. I think he's sort of like...
But he might be saying the Canucks can't win in 5 unless the Predators win at least 1.
Yeah. You're right. There you go. So, where were we again? The draft?
Draft show.
Yeah, draft show.
But it's going to be a blast to come hang out at Twin Peaks in Madison.
It'll be great, people.
So we were talking Joe Alt, and Tim Hasselbeck just joined the show, and he said, I think the Titans stay at 7 and take Joe Alt. I was hoping for some spicy tea in some of the final mock drafts that have been coming out today, and every single one of them says Joe Alt to the Titans.
They disappointed you.
Well, I mean, it's not even a disappointment. It's like, okay, I'm cool with that, but also, like, I'd like some tea here. I'd like some stirring of the pot. Like, Rick Neuheisel
the tea would be if he doesn't, if they don't take him. Right? That would be tea.
If he's not available.
If we're on this show tomorrow and they've taken Alt, it will just be, okay, that was it.
That's cool. All right. Left tackle. Thumbs up.
If they don't, then there'll be a lot of chatter.
That's some tea. So,
but it's, as you know, Tim just said, sometimes the simplest, obvious thing is the way to go.
Occam's razor. Sometimes the simplest explanation or the simplest outcome is the correct one. Mm-hmm. But if it's not Joe Alt at 7, all
what
of the mock
drafts. Reference right there?
Occam's razor?
Yeah, Occam's razor. Did I?
Occam's razor.
Occam's razor.
Okay.
OCCUM.
What LSU class was that? Exactly. Did you got? I I was not familiar.
Was that a
Nick,
physics
did you know
class
about the razor?
No, I'm not.
I didn't know about the razor.
I'm taking physics in college. I'm not sitting here today.
Is it a physics class? Stuff. Is it a what kind of class are you going?
I think it's philosophy.
Philosophy, okay.
Is that the same as a Gillette razor?
Could be. Could be. Yeah.
Occam's. What is it about Occam's?
It's
is that
the
a guy?
Law. It's
hey,
the law.
Hold on, Willie. Hey, Willie. You see when she said that? This is how you kind of get through. You just say, yeah,
yeah,
that's
right. Yeah, I know. Exactly. I know what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Because you listen to like,
wait a minute, I don't know what that is.
How did she use it in a sentence? Okay, I think I know what it means, but I ain't going to say nothing. But yeah, Occam's razor, absolutely.
Occam's razor is the philosophy that an event has two possible explanations. Hmm. The explanation that requires the fewest assumptions is usually correct.
Right, so don't talk yourself out of the obvious.
Exactly.
The thing that feels the simplest and most obvious is most likely the right one.
I'm sure we all had a teacher that said, "Go, you know, if you're taking a test, go with your first thought, right? Don't talk yourself out of what,
but what
looks
if you
like
didn't,
it's logical.
What if you didn't study? At all.
But that's a problem. That's a problem.
You go with C, D-Mace. You go with C.
Then I don't have a philosophy for you.
Take C. That was another one that was a theory, right?
Take C.
It's more often than not C.
Carolyn's making this use our medulla oblongata today.
There you go. Somebody watch Waterboy.
Ah. Yeah.
There it is. That's why alligators are ornery. So Joe Alt to the Titans.
Yes.
It feels like it feels like if he's there, they'll probably take him, and I have zero problem with it whatsoever. In fact, I would love it. But a lot of the mock drafts have, if it's not Joe Alt to the Titans at 7, they have him off the board at 5 to the Chargers. Mm-hmm. But I've just thought, I hear Jim Harbaugh and all of his yapping about building up the offensive line, but the Chargers have a left tackle. So why would they take Joe Alt and move him to right tackle if he's the best left tackle in this draft? But Joe Alt joined Jared Unstillman and company yesterday, and he was talking about, can he play right? Can he play left? Like, where's the best position for Joe Alt? Jared asked him about that. This was Joe Alt.
Yeah, I definitely feel more comfortable at left tackle just because that's where the majority of my experience has been. I played left tackle all throughout college and have a lot of snaps there. So obviously I feel more comfortable there and know the position, you know, better. But I knew kind of once the draft process and the combine kind of started rolling around, there were some teams looking at right tackle. So I spent some time over there training that side, you know, making sure I was comfortable. But, you know, there will be a little bit of a transition phase to right tackle just because I'm used to, you know, playing on left. You know, we in the household and my dad always talk about it. You know, it's a different side, completely different side. It's right side, you know, all your footwork's, you know, flipped and everything. So I think the biggest thing for me is if I do get chosen at a right tackle position, I got to go back to work and just kind of relearn the basic techniques, how to push out of my stance and things like that. But I would say overall, I feel more comfortable at left tackle just because I've had a lot of experience there.
So I think Joe Alt is doing what we all would probably do in a job interview and say, yeah, I would do it. Sure. You need me to clean the toilets? Sure.
Hey.
I'll do it. But deep down, it's actually like, I don't want to do that. But I'm just going to put my best foot forward and say whatever I can do to help the team. Everything that I have heard, all of the conversations that Joe Alt and his people have had behind closed doors, he'll say that, you know, he'll say what he needs to say, but he's a left tackle. He's better at left tackle. Mm-hmm. He feels more comfortable at left tackle. And everything that I have heard is everyone in Joe Alt's camp has said, if you're taking Joe Alt, you need to put him at left tackle. Mm-hmm. So the Chargers can't take Joe Alt and put him at right tackle, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, they can do what they want to, but I think that's why...
It wouldn't even be in their best interest.
Yeah, it wouldn't. I mean, but you just never know with Coach Harbaugh. But I believe that's why Phil Yates and Daniel Jeremiah has, you know, Latham going to the Chargers at 5th because they can put him on the right side. They already got Rashawn Slater on the left, who they drafted 3 years ago in the first round, a top 15 pick. Mm-hmm. So then why would you go back to the drawing board? If you don't need to with a left tackle. So I think that's why people are now replacing Alt with Latham because, yes, they do need a right tackle. The Chargers do. So they can stay put, take Latham at 5, and then the Titans are all but teed up to take Alt at 7. It can happen that way. But I don't see the Chargers drafting Alt. I see them either moving out of that space or taking, you know, either the left tackle, right tackle, and Latham, or if Odunze is still at one of those receivers, they're still there, they may take one of those receivers. Mm-hmm. So, I think Alt falls to the Titans. Now, whether they draft him or not, or they choose to go with a different player that may be at that same, maybe at that spot, a receiver or something, that's up to them. That's something we don't know. But I think Alt will be there for them if indeed they want to draft him.
I said this in the first hour. I think the most intriguing thing for the Titans would be if McCarthy is still sitting there at 7, mm-hmm. and Alt, the obvious pick, and maybe one of the receivers too, then I think they're in a tremendous bargaining position that they would have to be intrigued of trying to move down, maybe still get Alt, even though you, as we talked about many times leading up to this, mm-hmm. if you trade down, you have to be prepared that you won't get the exact guy that you want. There's a chance you would, but you also have to say who else is guaranteed to be there and could we live with one of those picks. I think that's the most intriguing scenario that could present itself tonight. Otherwise, I think they just take Alt. I think Alt's going to be there at 7.
It feels like he is. I don't see a left tackle needy team trading up to leapfrog the Titans to take Joe Alt. This doesn't really make very much sense to me, the price that it would cost to leapfrog the Titans to take Joe Alt. Anyone that moves up, I think, is taking a quarterback mm-hmm. or a team that's so desperate to get their hands on Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think the Chargers are taking Joe Alt. It doesn't make any sense at all for the Chargers to take Joe Alt at 5. So it does feel that way. But I'll ask you both a question that I posed to Jared and Joe yesterday on Jared versus Joe. At 7, either Alt or Malik Nabers is there. Minnesota's offering you 11 and 23 for 7. You would have to pass up on either Malik Nabers or Joe Alt. But would you do it?
For 23?
11 and 23.
Oh, yeah. I'd do it.
Do you make
100%. I would not hesitate. I'd say yes on the phone. I wouldn't even say, let me call you back. I would say, no, let's do it. Yeah,
I'm in. Willie is not a very good negotiator.
No.
What's not to like
he's
about
like,
that?
Hey, listen.
Four spots for an extra first-round pick?
Yeah.
What's not to like about it wouldn't you? Is you wouldn't get Alter Nabers.
Okay. But I'm still at 11. I'm not going. Like, we talked about one that we had a lot of reaction from, which was the, I forget who had it. But it involved going down to 28 and getting several more picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bigger drop. You're dropping four spots and getting a second first round pick. I'm all over that. All over it.
I knew Willie would love it.
I'd love it. Oh, wow. So
I'd be stunned if that ends up on the table.
So if Alt, you're saying if Alt is still there.
Uh-huh. Either Alt or Nabers.
Oh, not or and, just or?
Or.
If Alt,
one's off the board.
Okay, if Alt is there, then I'm moving off that space. Now, I'm only willing
to. If Alt is there, you move off.
If Alt is there, because I'm only moving back a few spots, and I'm hoping I can still get him, but while also picking up extra picks. So if Alt is there, then, you know, I think you may want to move back a few spots if you believe you still can get them. If Alt's not there, I'm moving back. I'm taking, if it's Nabers there or Odunze, whichever one, I'm moving back. I'm taking what Willie is offering, the 11 and the 22. I'm taking it, and then I am getting me an offensive lineman, and I'm getting me a receiver in the first round.
I would have a really hard time doing it.
I mean, if Alt's not there, then I'm moving.
And Nabers is there? You pass on Nabers?
I'm passing on Nabers or a Doomsday because this draft is too deep where I can move back 11 and 23 and get my tackle and get my receiver that I want. I can get two birds with one stone right there. But I understand, like,
yeah.
You know, you may be getting a better player mm-hmm. at 7. I get that. But you're still getting, I feel you're still getting a good player, a guy that you believe that can be, you know, 7 to 10 year starter. Because I look at the receivers as more of a 5 to 6 because of contracts. Mm-hmm. I look at tackles as more of a 7 to 15 because you're usually, if you got a good one, you usually re-sign those guys. Receivers
like 7 to 15 years, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Receivers is kind of iffy, mm-hmm. you know, because it's not all. Because somebody may be willing to pay them a lot more, mm-hmm. you know. So, if the receiver's there, Alt's gone, you move back, and still you're still able to get your tackle and your receiver. I believe
it's a hard offer to pass up.
Yeah,
2 first-round picks, but it's also 2 players that would be hard to pass up as well. I think I would reluctantly stick and pick and take my guy, but it'd be a hard one to pass up. We've got a bunch of thoughts on our text line. I want to get into your thoughts coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Also want to get into Willie's Vancouveran. I don't know if that's the right word. Adventures. We'll do that coming up next as well. Caroline Willie D. Mace. 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We are, what are we now, 6 hours away from the NFL draft going down tonight. And I want to get into your thoughts on the NFL draft, your questions, your predictions, your pre-draft thoughts. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, unless we have some thoughts.
Let's go to them phones.
Let's get to the phones. Tyler texts in, says, if the Titans trade back to 11, who is taking Alt before that 11th pick? I think you could look at a couple teams. You could, let's say if Alt is available at 7 and you trade back to 11, I think that the Jets could be in play for Alt, because I think the Jets look at this year as, what can we do to protect Aaron Rodgers? Protecting Aaron Rodgers is our number one priority. I also think the Bears could be involved at 9. I know that they signed Tyron Smith in free agency, but I don't know if Tyron Smith is going to be your 10 to 15 year solution at left tackle. You got a young quarterback. You have a young rookie quarterback. You want to be able to protect him. So I think there would be teams that would be in play for Joe Alt between 7 and 11.
Yeah, there will be. And that's, you know, that's where you have to make sure that, you know, you have your options ready to go. If indeed, you know, say like the Jets choose to, you know, take Alt. I don't think they'd take Alt. They have a pretty good left tackle in Smith. Their tackles are pretty good. Not great, but they're good. So I'm not sure that the Jets would, go that route as far as getting a left tackle. Now, getting an offensive lineman, that may be different. But do you draft an interior offensive lineman that high? I don't know, So I wouldn't be worried about the Jets getting Alt. I wouldn't be worried about Minnesota getting Alt. They have their tackle as well. Mm-hmm. The only team that you figure, even the Chargers, they have their tackle unless they – only person I think you would – possibly think would take a tackle is the Chargers, and it doesn't seem like they're going to take a left tackle. It seems like they would take more so of a right tackle. Mm-hmm. They just drafted a left tackle that's pretty good 2 years ago.
We're really in silly season now.
Oh, whoa.
Larry
what
Texan.
What we got?
Would you trade your first round draft pick for Ja'Marr Chase? No. Yes, but nobody is making that trade.
Yeah. I think the answer would be yes.
Yes,
was another one that I would not hang up the phone. I would say yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I will take Ja'Marr Chase.
With Callahan?
You can have the 7th overall pick, and I wouldn't lose an ounce of sleep over it. The odds of that happening?
Zero?
Slim. Okay,
zero
cool.
Zero to 0.000%
chance.
Yeah, so you have happening. A... 0%
chance. 0% chance. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Glad we're on the same page here.
Wait, what if you round up? You still get 0%.
It's a goose egg. Thank you. Jack's on the line with a question on the draft. What's up, Jack?
Well, tonight's when it finally gets interesting. So far, all the mock drafts and everything, it's all blue sky. Who knows? So it's going to be interesting to see how the teams play the game, as who's available, who's going to make a deal. Constantly changes. That's the fun part for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for your call, Jack.
Yeah, that is the sort of the cat and mouse. Outside of the first pick, any pick after that is a wait and see pick. Like, oh, okay, because even with the second pick, you don't know if Washington is going to take Drake May or if they're going to take Jaden Daniels.
Well, there's an overwhelming, you know, odds on the sports books of Jaden Daniels to Washington, but also there was so much talk about Indianapolis loving Will Levis last year.
Exactly.
And then they ended up taking Anthony Richardson. So, like, the apparent love that the Commanders have for Jaden Daniels could be a total and complete smokescreen.
Yeah, and they could love you all the way up to they draft somebody else. So they can love you all the way up until that point where they give away that card to be called out who they're drafting. So, but I think the interesting parts are going to start at two. Even though we do assume, like, well, it's going to be a quarterback, but we don't know which quarterback. You know, and then after two, you know, do New England take a quarterback? Do they move out of that spot far enough down where they could possibly get a J.J. McCarthy and still pick up another first-round pick, you know, in probably next year's draft or second round or in this year's draft? So, to me, the draft is going to be – I'm looking after the first pick. That's when, to me, that's when the draft starts.
I think the most intriguing thing tonight will be who can trade down and still get the player that they wanted. Who trades down effectively will be the story of the draft. Because it, like, I think we'd all be surprised if there's no trades. If it just goes like last year's NHL draft in Nashville, we're like, okay, here come the trades. There's all these rumors. Skarov could get traded. Predators are trading up. Barry Trotz's like, yeah, I put some stuff on the table. I put some uncomfortable stuff on the table. There were zero trades at the end of the night in the first round. We were all like, what the heck? We heard all this buzz and nothing happened. I'd be surprised if that happened tonight. True?
I wouldn't.
Somebody's trading up. Somebody's doing something.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are three trades in the top 10 alone.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't be surprised to see.
So more like an NBA first round draft.
Yeah, like a.
Except that you're allowed to know who the players are. Remember, like they've agreed to this draft, they've agreed to this trade. We can't tell you why, but this is who it is. Like the Woj bombs, all those things.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota trades with Arizona, and then Arizona tries to get back into the top five to get Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that is the smart move.
Yeah, if you can do it, because you, essentially you still would come out on the upper end.
Collect some extra picks.
Yeah, collect some picks.
Trade some of those picks to get back in the top five. I mean, you hold on to a couple of picks, you still get your guy. I think that's the smart one. All right, coming up next, what does this draft mean? Like, how important is it for Rand Carthon to get this draft right? Is it the draft? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.